The book of the Revelation, chapter 14. We're getting through this book. This hadn't went exactly as I'd hoped it would go. There's been several interruptions along the way. But I think the next few weeks, if Lord willing, we'll be able to finish this book. And the 1st of March, I've got some few other directions and plans. But right now, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 14. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious and holy word? John says, "Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and earth and the sea and springs of water.' And another angel followed, saying, 'Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.' Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name.'" We'll stop there for this morning, and let us again look to the Lord in prayer. Brother David Diffie, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Before I really get started, I want to ask for your prayers in the coming week. Next weekend, Brother Michael and I and Miss Beth and Miss Carrie Lowe are going on a mission trip to Nicaragua, going to visit our missionary there. And would you please pray for us as we travel, that God will teach us things we need to know and show us how we can be a greater help to our missionary there. If you'll pray for us, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And now we're going to turn our attention to this book of Revelation, chapter 13 closed. As it was kind of grim, to be honest with you. Sometimes if we're not really careful, it looks grim. But I want to tell you, you know, it doesn't matter how much Satan thinks he's in control, God wins. Amen. And if you're a child of God, that means you're going to win too. But as we close chapter 13, the scene was somewhat grim in that the Antichrist had built his system, his religious, his political world system. And we closed with people having to make a choice there in chapter 13. A choice of either to receive the mark of the beast so they could survive, or not to receive the mark of the beast so they would be basically open season facing the persecution of the Antichrist and his kingdom. Couldn't buy or sell. And you know, I can't imagine making that decision. I like to eat. What about you? You can tell I like to eat, can't you? But in the tribulation period, there's going to come a point where people will have to make a choice to receive that mark of the beast, to be able to buy, sell, and to survive, or to decline that mark of the beast and not be able to buy and sell and have a job. And it will basically be, as I said, open season. And that's where we closed last time. But now in chapter 14, we open with a victorious scene. And I said the title of today's message is Sowing. And we're going to begin this morning by sowing the things that are sown in the tribulation period. Tonight we're going to reap some of the things, some of the harvest of the tribulation period. And we're going to begin this morning by sowing or seeing the sowing of the seeds of security. As we read in chapter 14, the beginning, there were 144,000 standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb. And these 144,000, says, has the name of their father written in their forehead. This is exciting. This is a picture of victory. And the reason that this is so exciting for me is if you go back to chapter 7 that we've already studied, we see where these 144,000 received the mark of their father in their forehead. And you know what? Here's the exciting part. 7 chapters ago, they received the mark. And now here in chapter 14, we see the number is still 144,000. God has not lost a single one at this point. And you know what? He's not going to lose one. When we say, when I say we see the seeds of security being sown at this point, we're reminded these 144,000, they've been through part of the tribulation period. They're going to go through all of the tribulation period. They're going to see plagues. They're going to see the locust of hell, the armies, demons of hell. They're going to face the world system of the Antichrist. And when we get to the end of the tribulation period, do you know how many there's going to be? 144,000. God doesn't lose. And I'm reminded that as a child of God, we have that security that God has never lost one of His children yet. Now, I don't want you to think, you know, that this is all the saved. No, the saved are going to die. No, this is a special 144,000 chosen by God. But the thing is, it's a reminder that God doesn't lose anybody. You know, if you don't believe in security of the believer, if you've never gotten hold of this truth of security of the believer, man, you're missing out on a great truth of the gospel. God has never lost a soul that has been committed to Him. Do you realize you are important to God? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10, are not 2 sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will, but the very hairs on your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Do you realize if you are a child of God, nobody can take you away from God, even yourself. John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I'll tell you what, I'm a child of God, and it doesn't matter what Satan thinks about it, there's nothing he can do about it, period. End of the conversation. Isn't that awesome? And you know what? In the tribulation period, God's not going to lose any either. Yes, there's going to be people who have to who pay with their life serving God, but that's been the way it's been from the beginning of creation. Okay? The good news is God doesn't lose. Satan may think he's got the world by the horns, but friend, I want you to know there's nothing Satan can do about God. 144,000 secure, standing on Mount Zion, singing a new song. Can you imagine this? I like to think about it. Standing on Mount Zion, singing a new song, a choir of 144,000 Jews singing the praises of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever been through a song service that just left chills? Just wait till you get here. Okay? Just wait till you get here. It's a song that no one else can sing. No one else is capable of learning. These are a special 144,000 with a special relationship with Jesus Christ. They are special because they are pure. It says they were not defiled by women, meaning they were virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever He goes. They are in complete obedience. It says they are the first fruits unto God. I believe what that's talking about is they're the first of the harvest of salvation of souls in the tribulation period. Okay? Their mouth was found no deceit, no hypocrisy. They're without fault before the throne. These are 144,000 Jews who have been especially blessed by God. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Satan and Satan's sin in the world system has no power over them. I like the security of that. I do. You know, I still have a sin problem, and you do too today. But I'm still secure in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The good news here is the security involved in the Lord. But listen, we go on, and we read about this first angel as he sows the seeds of salvation. Do you realize salvation is going to be preached during the tribulation period? You do realize that, right? That's just a wonderful a wonderful thing that the message has never changed. This world has always needed Jesus Christ. And at this point in the tribulation period, we have an angel flying. It says in the midst of heaven, and that in the midst of heaven is mid-heaven or in the atmosphere above the earth, okay? He's not flying through the heaven. He's flying in the atmosphere around the atmosphere of the earth. And he's there to declare the gospel message to every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. He's a messenger. I've wondered, and this is speculation, but I've wondered if this is not the broadcast of the gospel message that will be broadcast throughout the tribulation period. You know, the radio, television. I don't know. That's just kind of can't say for sure, but I kind of have that. You know, the word angel is messenger, right? But again, the good news has not changed. And this angel, the message of the angel is this: fear God. Fear God. What's he talking about? Reverence. He's talking about that word comes from the root word, which means to shrink back. Fear God. Show God reverence. Now, you realize in the tribulation period, we're in a very evil time. A time when most of mankind has just completely turned their back on God. But this message of grace still is proclaimed. I want to tell you something. Do you realize every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? That's going to happen. Okay? And as we look at the first of the message of this angel, I'm reminded that God is worthy of our reverence. Sometimes I think that perhaps our society today has forgotten how to be reverent. Do you realize when I was growing up, my mom and dad, reverence was a whole different meaning. There were certain things you did in church, and there were certain things you did not do in church. And if you did the did nots, you went out of church for a few minutes. And then you were brought back in with a completely reverent attitude. You know? It was kind of like the little boy who was taken out of church that, you know, his daddy was taking him out to give him that rod of correction, and he yelled out, "Y'all pray for me," you know? Listen, never forget how to reverence God. We talk about God being a friend, and He is a friend of friends, but let me tell you, He is also God. It is by Him that there is life. It is by Him that there is a universe. And if you're here today and you don't know who God is, the first thing you need to realize is that God is God. In the Old Testament, He was known as the I Am. He's the creator of this universe. You ever look at the stars in heaven at night? He put them there. You ever looked at the trees and the grass as they grow on this earth? It was God that put it there. If you've ever taken a breath, you've just had to stop and consider the complexity of the human body. It was God that made it work. The first step is you need to reverence Him. Honor Him as God. That was the first part of the message of this angel. The first part of this gospel message. Then the second one was give Him glory. Which means to honor Him. Honor Him as God. Listen. God deserves to be treated as God. Does that make sense to you? There are people who will use God's name in vain. Oh, listen, don't do that, friend. Don't do that. He is the creator. It is by Him that you'll take your next breath. Why would you use His name in vain? And I'm talking every aspect, not just put His name in front of a cuss word. But you hear people without consideration say things like, "Oh my God." That's using the Lord's name in vain. Okay? When they use the name of Jesus as slang, that's using the Lord's name in vain. Listen, when you call on the name of God, you need to mean business, okay? You need to honor Him as God because that's who He is. And when you utter that name, you need to be of the utmost reverence and respect and honor, realizing that when you utter that name, the powers of heaven are at your disposal. Fear God, give Him glory, and worship Him. That word worship, it means literally to bow down. The key is submission. You know, if you're gonna honor God for who He is, if you're going to reverence God, you're going to have to bow down in submission to God. See, the problem today is that we don't want to be told what to do. You know? The world wants to live like it wants to live. Make its own decisions. You know? And only call on God when we're in a bind. That's not who God is. God is God all the time. And He's not someone that you call on just because you're in trouble or just because life is not good and it's not going right. He is God of the good times as well as the bad times. And the idea that He is worthy demands your submission. Listen, the good news of the gospel is just this. God is God. He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. God has given you the opportunity to bow down in submission to Him, committing your life to Him. And the question is, have you done that? Everybody wants to go to heaven, don't they? You want to go to heaven, say amen. Amen. Have you had a salvation experience with Christ? Where you submitted your life to Him in honor and reverence. Are you a child of God? Oh, listen, I'm so glad that the message has not changed in 2,000 years. The angel starts with this message of salvation, but he comes to a point of bad news. He said his judgment is come. His judgment. Think about that for a minute. Friends, I want you to understand, we're getting down to the last part of the tribulation. We're closing in on the last 3.5 years here, and you've heard judgment all your life. But friends, it's coming. The clock is ticking. The hour of his judgment has come. One of these days, you'll reject Christ for the last time. Think about it. We all live with the idea, well, tomorrow, next week, next year, when I get these things in order, No, listen. One of these days, you're going to say no for the very last time. And it's going to be too late. What a sad message. When the message of salvation is proclaimed, fear God, give Him glory, worship Him. And the answer is no. Well, then the hour of judgment has come. Are you ready? Then we move. We've sown the seeds of salvation. We move to sow the seeds of shock. Now grab this, okay? The second angel proclaims, Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. Now, this is, of course, the great world system of the Antichrist. And it's the collapse of his empire. It's the collapse of his powerful economic system. It's the collapse of his powerful political system. It's the collapse of his religious system. It's the whole thing comes crumbling down. You know, we ended chapter 13 with, if you want to buy or sell, you've got to take his mark. Now, in chapter 14, that whole system is just collapsing. Can you imagine the response to that? Friend, there's going to be people who just literally, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It actually happened. There are people today in the United States of America who really don't think that this country could fall. I didn't think about that much until 9/11 a few years back. You remember how you felt when those planes flew into the towers? I don't know about you, but I got this, it felt like a rock in the bottom of my stomach. And I thought, Lord, is this the collapse of our great nation? Listen, friends, it can happen. The sad thing about it is at this point in the tribulation period, all those people who chose to accept and receive the mark of the beast, all those people who rejected that message of salvation and that message of judgment that comes, now they face the judgment of God. And look. Look at the reason for the fall. It says, she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. She gave all the nations to drink of the passion of her fornication. That word wrath, as it's used there, literally means passion. You know, today it's not changed. We still have a passion for sin. And this world system that the Antichrist builds, oh, it's going to be attractive. It's going to be alluring. It's going to make good sense. I mean, after all, if I've got to do that to be able to feed my family, it just makes sense that I'll accept His kingdom and receive His mark. And they will by the multitudes, the thousands, receive His mark. And then they will say, oh, it'll be okay now. Peace and safety, I'll be fine. And then, as a thief in the night, that whole system's going to crash by the hand of God. then all that's going to be left for everyone that has chose the Antichrist and his system will be the judgment of God. Oh, listen, I want you to understand this life is not going to last forever. Do you know that? Say amen if you know that. 100 people out of 100 people die. And if we don't die, we're going to see the second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? But this life will end. And most people have the idea that God is always supposed to be a God of blessing. That it does not matter how I live, it does not matter the sin that I'm associated with, it does not matter the impurity, it does not matter my lifestyle, all that doesn't matter. I should be allowed to do what I want to do, and then when the judgment of God comes, they say, well, God, who are you? I'll tell you who He is. He is God. And not only does He have the right to judge, He has the responsibility to judge sin. He's God. Oh, listen, friends. I've heard people say, I don't understand why this is happening to me, who have chosen that lifestyle that that you know is a lifestyle of destruction. And I'm not real quick to judge. Okay? I'm truly not. But I do know the Bible teaches, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap destruction. It's just a fact of life. Don't blame God when you face the consequences of your sin. Especially when time after time, after time after time, that message of salvation has been proclaimed. And Jesus has time after time convicted you of your sin, saying, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And time after time, you've said, no, not today. When the world collapses and you face the judgment of God, don't be caught off guard. Because here's where we're going. The seeds of suffering. The third angel comes out with his message. They who worship the beast in his image and receive his mark begin to be tormented. They're given a new beverage to drink. Before it was the wine of the passion of that world system. But now, it's the wine of the wrath of God. Look at the description. Says it's poured out in the cup of his indignation. That poured out is, it gives the concept of literally being without restraint or being full strength. It's not watered down. I want you to know this world has not seen the full judgment of God yet. But it's coming. It's coming. The day is coming when God will literally pour out His wrath in this cup of indignation. It says that it's talking about. It literally means a vigorous upsurge of anger. Now listen, we serve a loving God. Do not think for one minute that God does not love you. But grab a hold of this: God, being a righteous, a pure, and holy God, has to judge sin. Otherwise, He would not be a righteous God. Okay. And when this day of judgment comes, we would describe it, this phrase, the cup of his indignation, as being out of control. But God's not out of control. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's in full control. But he literally pours out his wrath and his hatred upon sin. How? through the torment of Christ's rejectors. Look what it says. They're tormented with fire, it says. Have you ever been tormented? I've been inconvenienced. I felt pain. I'm not sure I've ever been tormented. That word torment means to be in anguish. They're going to be in anguish with fire. And look, the smoke of their torment, it says, ascends forever. The smoke of their torment rising forever, meaning that there'll never be a rest from the torment. Listen, everyone listen to me, because this is too important to pass up. This is too important to dismiss. Every man, woman, and child, get this, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And listen, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, whoever receives the mark of his name. Have you ever been to that point in life? Whatever the circumstances were, that you just felt you needed relief. Maybe it was health issues, and man, you were just pushed to the limit, and you just thought, Lord, if you don't do something, I can't stand another minute of this. I'm in pain. Or maybe it's circumstances. You know, it's funny. When it rains, it pours. Have you ever noticed that? Never just one thing. It's always when it rains, it pours. There's been a couple times in my life that I've thought, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. I can't take one more thing, Lord. If you don't do something, this is going to break me. And you know what? Every time God put his hand on me and got me through it. I want to tell you, there's coming a time of eternity when Christ's rejectors, those who have said, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, Lord. Yes, I know I need to receive you as my personal Savior, and someday I will, but not today. There's coming a time when Christ's rejectors will face the torment of hell, and there will never, ever be relief. You can cry out from the belly of hell itself, as the rich man who cried out for Lazarus, Lord, send Lazarus just to dip the tip of his finger in water and touch it to my tongue, because I'm tormented in these flames. I can't imagine being to the point where you would think that just a drop of water on the tip of somebody's finger would bring you relief. But that cry went out. The response was, oh no. You had your life on this earth. You had what was good on this earth. Now it's too late. Listen, friends. If you are not a child of God, it is not a game. It is serious business. And I beg you with every fiber of my being, consider where you are right now. The love of Jesus Christ was demonstrated for you as he hung upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin. He died for you. I said earlier that God, being God, has to judge sin, and he does. He has to judge sin. The difference between being lost and being saved is those who have called upon Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that took your sin and was judged and received the punishment for your sin. It's all through Jesus. Listen, I don't want you to walk away from here today saying, well, I hope I'm saved. Well, maybe I'm saved. Well, Mom and Daddy's saved. My question to you is, have you had that personal salvation experience with Jesus Christ? Have you? And beloved, the answer to that question is too important to ignore. If you've not been saved, today's the day of salvation. Today. Will you come as we have this verse of invitation? And let's pray together and you ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Will you come? Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you. For the sacrifice that was made for us upon the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation message that has never been changed throughout history. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your security, for your warning. Thank you. Now I pray for anyone here who has never received you as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. That today they'll call upon you. In Jesus' name I pray.